Hello, good evening. We're going to make a start to this time together tonight. We welcome you. It's lovely to see all who have come. In fact, you're starting a trend that I want to keep up on a Thursday night. You're filling from the front. Sometimes people have the habit of filling from the back, but it's good to see you. We're going to sing the hymn, I Heard an Old, Old Story, how the Saviour came from glory, how he gave his life in Calvary to save a wretch like me. Again, without the music.
And the old redemption story.
You may be seated. I want to bow together in prayer, commit our way unto the Lord tonight as we come to his house. Heavenly Father, we bow with thanksgiving in your presence just now as we come to the throne of heavenly grace, and we do so through Christ and his merit upon the cross. We thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus, my Savior forever. We thank you for one who came into this world, came in humility and lowliness, came as a babe indeed to the manger. But Lord, what a victorious life and what a victorious death he died. And we rejoice tonight in the victory of Christ and the victory of Calvary. We thank you the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we thank you, Lord, for the believer. There was that moment in our experience when we came to Christ. We came by faith. We came in repentance. We turned from our sin. We ventured all upon the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we were born again, brought nigh to God through the precious blood, saved by sovereign grace. Thank thee for that moment when the great transaction took place, when we became the Lord's. We were united to him forever, and therefore our future is sure. We know where we're going. Praise God, we're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God, hallelujah. And we know that it is the testimony of those that will be baptized tonight, that they have been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your word has told us, indeed the command of Scripture, repent and be baptized. And Lord, we thank you for the day that they repented. And tonight in this public declaration of their faith in Christ, as they are baptized, bless them, we pray. May this be a great night, a special night for them and family and friends who have come to be part of this service tonight. May we have a conscious sense of the Lord's nearness. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's not really any announcements to make except to say welcome. Again, good to see you. Thanks for coming. If you are friends and family of those that are being baptized tonight, you're especially welcome. If you've come as part of the congregation here, lovely to see you. Thank you for your support. And refreshments will be served tonight. So stay behind. The service will not be a long one. Enjoy a cup of tea, something to eat, and a time of fellowship with our friends. By that time, they'll be dried out. And able to, they're all excited about this tonight, and so they should be. It is a good night, you know, when you're publicly avowing your faith in Christ, except you're a little bit nervous of water, so I know one or two of them are, but it'll be okay. We're going to read God's word as we have it in Acts chapter 2. This is the most amazing passage of Scripture. I never, ever get tired of the history of the New Testament, and especially those days when the Spirit of God came and a marvelous work was done. And we think of what's happening here, and God is moving in such a powerful way. We long for that kind of day to come back again. We're going to read from verse 37 down to the end of the chapter, verse 47. Verse 37, now when they heard this, and so just to let you know what they heard, it was the preaching. Please God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what the Bible says. And these people have just listened to the preaching of the apostles, and in particular Peter. Peter stands up in the midst of the others, and he preaches the sermon that is recorded in this chapter prior to verse 37, and it's a sermon all about Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to them, or them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was one of the most remarkable revivals of all time when God came down on the day of Pentecost. And this is what happened. And we look back to more recent days, the past few centuries, when we have witnessed the breath of God in this nation. You go back to the 18th century, the days of Whitfield and Wesley, the great preachers, to a period of time known as the Evangelical Awakening, when tens of thousands of people were swept into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We think of the 19th century, preachers like C.H. Spurgeon, so mightily used in the city of London in the preaching of the word. And again, thousands upon thousands of people sought the Lord. The year of grace for us here in Northern Ireland was 1859, when the Spirit of God moved in such a remarkable way. He got a hold, the Spirit did, of four men initially, who began to pray, and they prayed down the blessing of God that became known as our year of grace, the 1859 revival. It is said in that year 100,000 souls at least came to know Christ as Savior here in Northern Ireland. And you know, God was working throughout the nation, because there was 1 million people, when you take into consideration England, Scotland, and Wales and our own country, 1 million people that year sought the Lord. We think of the marvelous work of God in 1904 in Wales. That was the Welsh revival, when again thousands of people were converted to Christ. In 1929, there was another great revival that began in Lowestoft and worked its way up the East Coast. It's sometimes referred to as the Forgotten Revival, for people have forgotten about what God did then. But as the fishermen went from port to port following the herring fishing, they brought revival with them. In every port that they went into, revival came and souls were being saved. 1922 was the Nicholson time, when W.P. Nicholson, and around that time, but especially 1922, the great campaigns that he had, the towns that he visited, hundreds of people being converted every week where Nicholson went. And then we think of 1949 in the island of Lewis, when God came down. The Covenanters' trip going to the island of Lewis this year just to visit the sites of revival. We think of other times when the Lord came sweeping through our land. We have known a little bit in the Free Church, in our beginnings, going back to Cabra, whenever we first started that mission, when 100 people were converted. We think of the 1976 mission, when again many souls sought the Lord. Some of you are here tonight who were converted at that mission. And so these are the mighty movings of God, but not like what happened here on the day of Pentecost. This is one of the most amazing times when the Spirit came. God had been pleased to pour out his Spirit through the centuries. But Acts chapter 2 records days of the Holy Ghost when the Lord was moving with power in his church. Christ had died for our sins, took our place upon the cross, was crucified. The third day he rose again victoriously over death. 40 days later, after showing himself alive by many infallible proofs, he ascended to glory, where he is now and has been since that day, where he ever lives to pray and intercede for his people. But he gave the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, before he left, that the Spirit would come. And the Spirit would come, and he would have a work, a ministry to do in this world. First of all, among the ungodly, the great task of the Spirit of God is to reprove the world, Jesus said, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that's the business of the Spirit of God. He works in men's hearts and brings them to see their sin, brings them to see their need of righteousness, brings them to see not only the eternal judgment that they deserve, but how that Jesus was judged upon the cross for them. And then the Spirit would have a marvelous work in the church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so the promise was given that the Spirit would come. He would not only have a work among the ungodly to reprove them, but he would give power to his church to preach the gospel. A great prayer meeting takes place. Acts chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14 tells us about the prayer meeting, tells us who was there at the command of Christ. When he ascended to glory, he told them, go back, tarry in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. And these men and women returned to pray, and for 10 days they prayed. So it was a great prayer meeting that took place. There was a great moment that occurred. The opening verses of chapter 2 tells us that when they were come together, where they were assembled together in one place with one accord, the Spirit of God was poured out and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What a prayer meeting for 10 days that brought down the mighty power of God. And then there was great preaching. Now that they're filled with the Spirit, out into the streets of Jerusalem go the disciples to preach the gospel. And it was a wonderful sermon that Peter preached. It was all about Christ, particularly his crucifixion and his resurrection, because that's the heart of the gospel. A Savior who came to die, but one who was not held in the chains of death, but on the third day rose again victoriously over death. And the result was astounding, because as Peter preaches, a marvelous work is done, and 3,000 people are converted to Jesus Christ. And of course, that's what we desire today, isn't it? You read these things in the opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and you ought to have a prayer in your heart, Lord, do this again. Lord, give us great prayer meetings that bring down the Holy Ghost. Lord, give us great preaching where Christ is declared, and give us great conversions where souls are saved. I believe this is the greatest need of the hour. I've often said that. If you were to think about what is the greatest need in the Church of Jesus Christ today, there might be a variety of answers given, but I believe with all my heart this is the greatest need. We need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need a heaven-sent revival. Now, the new converts of Pentecost give to us a pattern of Christianity, how it ought to be for the person who comes to know Christ as Savior. We see that there was conviction here. We read in verse 37 that when they heard this, the preaching of Peter, they were pricked in their heart. So as Peter, anointed with the Spirit of God, empowered by the Holy Ghost, is preaching, something is happening here in the heart of the congregation. Thousands and thousands of people have assembled, but among them, in at least 3,000 hearts, a work was being done, and they were pricked. So there was conviction, and there was concern. They were so moved in their heart that they actually cried out. The same verse tells us here, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Cried out, having listened to the sermon. Wouldn't you like to see people cry out today, "What shall we do to be saved?" From verse 38 to 40, we have the counseling. The disciples told them what to do, and basically it was to repent, to turn from your sin. And then there was conversion. Verse 41 tells us how they received his word. They were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But they were not only converted, there was continuance. They went on with God. And that's the proof of true salvation, true conversion, a going on with God. And verse 42 tells us, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine on fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And there's some other things that are mentioned in the verses that follow. But particularly this verse, these four things, that's how they went on with God. And that is a pattern for the Christian life, continuing steadfastly. That term means continuing strong towards these things. The apostles' doctrine, that's the word of God. Fellowship, that's being with God's people. Breaking of bread, sitting at the Lord's table, it's a means of grace and prayers. That's how they went on with the Lord. And it's the only way to go on with God. There's no other way. We can't pretend to be wiser than what the word of God tells us. We can't say that we have found something better in the Christian life. Here's a better way to go on with God. No, here is the only way to go on with the Lord. And so, in the Christian life, you want a good commencement. You want a good start. You want to know that you're soundly converted. You belong to Christ. And I think you certainly want a good conclusion when you come to the end of your Christian experience. You want to finish well. And some Christians don't finish well, but you want to. Sometimes it's said it's not the first mile, it's the last mile that counts. So you have a commencement, you have a conclusion, but there's the wee bit in between, isn't there? And you want a good continuance. You want to continue steadfastly with the Lord. And I pray that it will be so for all of you tonight in this meeting that know the Lord. Every Christian that's here, and especially you folks that are sitting on my right in the front row, that you'll go on with God in a mighty, mighty way. The converts here who received the word, they were baptized and they were added to the church. That's what we're told here. 3,000 of them. In chapter 4, verse 4, we learn about another 5,000 being converted. I always like to mention that when we talk about the souls saved, because some of our experts, commentators, will tell us this was the same day. 3,000 in the morning after the sermon that Peter preached, and then later on the evening time after the word of God again was preached, another 5,000 converts. And if that is the case, there were 8,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. Baptism follows conversion. It's the outward sign of the inward work of grace. It's the public profession of our faith in Christ. And when these folks and any others come forward for baptism, they are declaring publicly, I am the Lord's. I am buried with him. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm buried with him in baptism. I rise to the newness of life. And you're publicly confessing the Lord. You're saying, I am Christ's. I belong to him. I'm forsaking the old ways and I'm ready. I'm ready to walk in the newness of life. It's my prayer that this will be a good night here. As we assemble together, that God will come down, that he'll do a real work of grace in our hearts and give all of you who are his people in these days of darkness boldness to continue in the faith, just like these converts, and especially you folks. Go on with God. That's my exhortation to you. So we thank you for coming, and in a little moment or two, we're going to have our baptism, but we're going to sing a hymn of testimony. Not ashamed. Publicly we're saying, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. The cross of the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight and now I'm happy all the day. When we come to the last verse, I am going to come down here, okay? And we've left it up to them, who wants to go first, who wants to go last. And they're maybe sitting in that order. Caroline says, I want to go first, so there you go. That's fine. May the Lord bless us as we sing this hymn. Let's proclaim tonight, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord.
Thank you.
final verse, I want to say that Mervyn will come up and lead in some singing. As each one is baptized, when they're baptized, we'll sing a verse of a hymn, testimony hymn. And so Mervyn will do that. He's going to do it down here because we're going to use the other projector and laptop for the words over this side. And then over this side, you should get a good view of what's happening down here. All right. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face.
Recently, and it's lovely to get to know you, Caroline, and your faith in Christ and the joy that is in your heart knowing the Saviour. And you have a good testimony in these days that we've known you. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you confess and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour?
I do.
Upon your profession of faith in Christ, we baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Stephen, we've come to know and love you in the Lord, brother.
Thank you.
And this is a special night for you, I know, and for your wife. If you need resuscitation, I don't know who.
Aaron.
Oh, you've got somebody else here. That's all right. But, brother, good to have you. And I know you love the Lord, and you're seeking to do as well. Do you confess and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
I do.
Upon profession of your faith in Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's a lovely night to be able to have mother and daughter being baptized. and to see that the faith of Christ is running in the family. And it's a joy for parents, first of all, to be saved. And what a joy whenever we see our children brought to Christ as well. Liam, we also love you in the Lord, and you've been with us quite a while now. And your hubby, who's down there, making sure everything's working up here. But do you confess and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour?
I do.
Upon profession of your faith in Christ, we baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Sorry, don't have much to try. God bless you. Sarah, you're the fruit of salvation in the next generation, and she's the youngest one being baptized tonight, but it's lovely to have you here, and our young people are valuable to us in this church, and I know that you have a desire to serve the Lord, and you've been to the mission field, and you're going out to serve the Lord again. Keep going on with God, continue in the faith. It's great to have you being baptized tonight. Do you confess and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour?
I do.
Upon profession of your faith in Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. Sir. You can go back a long way in the Free Church, as Robert can, back to the days of Cabra, and you've been saved a long time, and it's great that you've come to this night, and this is a special night for you, I know that, and I'm glad that you're able to do this evening, and I know you love the Lord, I know you have a desire to serve him, and we wish you well as a congregation. The Lord bless you. Do you acknowledge and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? Do you, upon profession of your faith in Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Back in those Cabra days, and I know you sought the Lord early in life, and it's a real testimony to see the grace of God that has triumphed over the years, over the decades. And again, this is a great night for you and for your wife being baptized. Robert has a desire to serve the Lord. The Lord has used him in the work of personal evangelism. We rejoice in that. And he's been to the mission field a few times as well, not only to Spain, where you have a relative there, but you come with me to Romania, and those have been good times. Do you acknowledge and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour? Upon profession of your faith in Christ, we baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Shall be last, the last shall be first. Going to have to work that out some way, Roberta. But you've been able to see everybody else being baptized. That's a good privilege. And you got your friends are watching on too.
Long time.
Long time friends. Good to have friends in Christ. And they do become family, I know that. And you've been with us a long time too, Roberta. Saved by grace alone. And we know this is a good night for you. Do you confess and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour?
I do.
We baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost upon your profession of faith.
Okay. Yep. Take your time.
Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Without the love of Christ, this night would all be in vain. There'd be no purpose for having this service, but because of his great love towards us, he has displayed that love at the place called Calvary. And we can sing in our closing hymn, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace, and his mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. And as we conclude this baptismal service, I wonder tonight if you have that assurance in your heart, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a mansion prepared for you in glory, and that for you it's well with your soul. Oh, if that's not the case, then even as we've seen those tonight enter the waters of baptism in obedience to the command of the Saviour, then this could be the greatest night for you, a night when you know personally the Saviour and the Redeemer. We'll stand together, we'll make this our closing hymn, and then we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Wesley McCauley, one of our elders, if Wesley will come and close in prayer. And Wesley, just be careful walking across. My wife warned me before I came up, because you and I have the same similarity. If there's something going to go wrong, it'll either go wrong with Wesley or me. So come you up that way there, because I don't want to have to be digging you out of that pool. Amen. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Thank you.
let's sing it with all our hearts. Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we just give Thee thanks for all that has taken place tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for a real sense of Thy presence in the meeting tonight as we have watched our brethren and sisters go through the waters of baptism. No, Lord, we just thank You for the testimony that each one of them has. We thank You, Lord, for the love of God is displayed in each one of their lives. And Lord, we thank You for that day when You called them unto Thyself. You saved them and You made them Thy children. And oh Lord, we just thank You that tonight they have professed Thee publicly here as they've been baptized. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be with them in the days that lie ahead, that Thou wilt bless them, Thou wilt encourage them, Thou wilt instruct them. And most of all, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt use them in Thy service. So Lord, be with us now as we partake of the food that has been prepared. Bless it to each one of us and bless our time of fellowship together, for we ask it for Thy name's sake. Amen. Tea will be served in the fellowship area, so do stay with us and you'll be able to fellowship with those who were baptized. So as soon as we possibly can, tea will be served in the fellowship area. But thank you for your attendance, and God bless. Thank you.